Ich sitze jetzt vor dem Autoren Jussi Adler-Olsen. Er hat das Buch geschrieben, Opfer 2117. Und die erste Frage, die ich mir gestellt habe, war, wie ist es, drei Handlungsstränge zu beschreiben?
So we're now on the book fair, sitting in front of the author Jussi Adler-Olsen, who wrote the book 2117 is the English title, fine. And so the question is, how difficult is it to combine those three different lines of action, which are starting in the beginning, to get that together in the end?
I have a certain system. I'm using a lot of post-its. And then I take one line with the post-its, and then another, and then the third, and then the fourth lines of plots. And then I mix it on the cupboard. There I can follow all the lines through here, or directly with the color. It's very, very easy. But I'm starting up with first page and ending up with last page. I'm not writing like this. All of that. And why? Because the mood you are in one chapter has to be the mood you bring the reader into in the next chapter, and then you can change it. If you just do like this, it will never work to have the reader engaged.
Wie kam es zu dem Thema der Ego-Shooter?
How did you come up with the topic of these Ego-Shooter video games or PC games?
It's very, very easy. I know that in Japan they have a certain problem with that. They are calling it hakikimori. Hakikimori is a person who are isolating themselves in a room. And in Japan, now, these days, the statistics say that there are 1 million young men and a few women too, girls, that are isolating themselves in the rooms. And isolating mean not coming out at all. So when they're making their toilets visits, the people, their parents has to come within with a sheba or what it's called and bring it out again. Food is brought to them. They are not leaving at all. And very often there are no windows. So you can imagine the smell in the room. Hakikimori in Japan is the greatest problem of Japan in nowadays. Before it was that they committed suicide. Now they very often tend to isolate themselves instead. What are they doing there? Video games, blocking, but it's all about the internet, and they are staying in the world of that. If you think of what's happened in America with the school shootings and so forth, it's a sort of hakikimoris there too. It's an isolated person in a social sense, and suddenly one day he decides to break out and do something about what made him social isolated. That's the same with Alexander here. And Alexander is a very, very lovely person to write about because he can make things happen. And for me, I needed a case in Copenhagen for Gordon and Rose, while I had another case for Assad and Carl abroad. And the mixture between the two cases are all combined in Offer 2117, as well as what happened in the past of Assad. So now it's a little complicated, but I can tell you it worked okay.
Wie ist es, so jemanden auch zu beschreiben, wenn man, Sie sind ja ein sehr offener Mensch, wie ist es dann, so jemanden zu beschreiben, der sich mehr oder weniger einschließt?
How difficult is it to describe a person who's actually completely the opposite of what you seem to be. You seem to be a very open, friendly, positive person, and this Alexander is a completely the opposite.
Have you never dreamt about killing someone? The bosses, the guys in the school, the one who didn't give you the right, I mean, Abitur, whatever, politicians. Think of Berlusconi. And here's a little button. If you could do like this, and he were gone, or Donald Trump, a little button, no one would know. It wouldn't hurt him. He would just disappear. It's very tempting, right? It's in us, all of us, this inner Satan, you could call. And it's very, very easy to trick when you write about a person who are evil. And when I was young in the mental hospitals where I lived together with my family, and my father was a doctor, I saw it all the time. Good and evil in the same person. So it's all about, and this is a wonderful German word, it's all about Gestalt. I'm gestalting the person, I am the person, I'm the woman when I'm the woman. I'm happy I have three elder sisters, because they taught me everything about women. And with Gestalt, sorry?
My sister too.
But gestalting is the best part of being an author, because then you're completely out of the world. I listen to the music, being that person.
Ich bin die Person, wenn ich es lese. Also bin ich komplett in dieser Person. Das kriegt sie manchmal am Telefon ab. Seit wann ist...
So sometimes when he's reading, he's just jumping into that person, into that figure, into that character. Yeah. And so when I'm calling him and disturbing him while reading, it's kind of me then getting this character from the book, getting on the phone instead of him.
Okay.
So sometimes it can be also. Yeah, sometimes that's quite nice, but sometimes you can end up speaking to the paranoid.
Yes.
Whatever.
It's all about treating the fantasy of the reader. And if you can gestalt and be the person, then you, my work has succeeded. Absolutely.
Wann, seit wann ist die Lebensgeschichte von Assad schon in Ihnen drin?
So the life story of Assad, that's kind of really a key thing here actually as well. So how long did you know his life story? Was it from the beginning or just right now? Or when did it come up? I mean, it's really a complex one. I haven't read it completely now, but still it's really already great.
Well, in 2005, I knew all about his background, his history, his relations, why he has evolved as a person. And I can tell you it was very, very hard not to tell. But what changed on the way was that when I started up the synopsis of all the stories, Syria was the most peaceful country in the Middle East, and that changed a lot. So I had to make adjustments to the whole story. But that was a project, to know the backgrounds of all my characters and slowly reveal it. And that's why I call it the longest crime story ever told. So I wanted to make a story that developed, controlled, to 7,000 pages. And I think I will succeed now. I hope so. If I'm still there.
Klingt, ja genau, fragen wir doch mal. Es klingt so, als käme da noch viel mehr raus.
It kind of sounds as if there will be more to come with Karl and Assad.
Oh, that, Markus. I told you this several times. 10 books, still the project. You know, why ask? And it will be like that. What's new since you and I met last time, I guess, was that Now I also know the last sentence. And it's brilliant.
Ich bin also mal gespannt. Aber lässt, wie ist es eigentlich, wenn man so etwas wie die Flüchtlingskrise mit Zypern und so weiter in einem Thriller verarbeitet? Was macht das in einem?
So how does it feel for you as a person when you're combining the current situations or the current events in Syria with the refugees and everything into one thriller?
You know, what I learned from this book and when I started up here was no person is just a number. We knew it from the KZ camps. No person is just a number. And now we also know it in Barcelona, where I have a digital stand with numbers. Every day the number is going up because who drowned in the Mediterranean? It's counting. No person is just a number. And that is more or less about that specific sentence I made my book. I take forward one person, offer 2117, and through the story of her, I hope I can lift a little more interest for the rest of the numbers. But you can never be sure. To take it into a thriller theme is logical, it's very actual, and sometimes you are spot on. I mean, I made the Washington Decree many years ago, and just today it's spot on with Donald Trump. So the new thing for me was to write up something that not just will happen, but already had happened. And it made it more interesting and quicker to research.
Table in Barcelona counting the figures of the drowned, that's really existing. I didn't even know that.
Yes, it exists. It stands in Barceloneta. It's a half island in Barcelona where I lived for a few years. And it's metal and it's so close to the beach and people are walking around it and passing it in bathing suits, suntanned, you know. And the contrast between this and they is enormous. And that's what I tried to describe in the beginning also of the story. So it does exist, yes. And still counting.
Also kann man sagen, dass eigentlich unsere Realität, also das, was wir eigentlich tagtäglich um uns herum passiert, eigentlich der viel schlimmere Füller sein kann, wenn wir damit umlaufen würden.
So to say, maybe sometimes the reality which surrounds us is sometimes even the bigger thriller than a book can be.
You know, very often people tell me, what a naughty mind, what an evil mind you have. And I have never understood what they mean about it. Open your eyes, look around. I mean, the world is much more harsh. Like people cutting heads off slowly, and John Foley and you know, whatever happened in the world is so gruesome that I couldn't make myself describe it that way. I try to lower it a little, but you're so right. I mean, what's happening in the world now, and I am talking about everything: Turkey, Kurds, environment, CO2. Tsunamis, you know, whatever, wars, it's much, much harsher than my books. Can I, and I'm not sure of that, can I make people open their eyes a little more? Then I'm fulfilled, simply, to what's happening in the world just now. You know, when I made Erbarmen, people said to me, how schrecklich. How can you make, I mean, such a thing can never happen. Then came Natasha Campus, Fritzlin Amstetten, and a lot, and now a complete family here in Germany. I mean, of course it's like that.
It was Netherlands.
But yeah. That was Netherlands. Yeah, yeah, but you are right. And we know it will happen here in Denmark and everywhere from time to time, revealing of real evilness just under the surface.
Ja, das ist ja etwas, was mir oft bei Büchern auffällt, auch bei Sachbüchern oder so, dass, oder bei Thrillern, dass wirklich bestimmte Themen angesprochen werden oder Szenarien zu Ende gedacht werden, die viele, die der Realität sehr nahe sind.
Yeah, that's actually something also discovered myself in books, be it fiction or non-fiction, that there are topics started and mentioned and things thought down to the end, which already happened, and this is sometimes really dangerous.
Too many coincidences in my case. I mean, my takeover novel, number two of my standalones, was going on in Amsterdam, and an aeroplane into a high tower, and then Miltbrandbriefe waren distribuiert. And then it happened a few months later on in New York, 9/11. And I saw it many times. Also number three, Flasjepost auf P. So many times I predicted things to come. But did I really? Or did I just have my open eyes what was between the lines in society? I think so. I hope, really, that this is not a prediction, anno 2017, for Germany or for anyone else. Some of my colleague writers are asking me, are you the reason why it happened? Of course not. But nevertheless, when I made selfies, I made it before they started up killing people with lorries and cars in Nice, Barcelona, Paris, London, all over. That I thought I was, this is original, I said. She's taking a car and selfies, this woman, and then she's smashing her victims. And then when it happened in Nice, I was sad about selfies and the way I did it there. So, yeah.
Es ist ja ungefähr so wie zum Beispiel bei lauter kleine Morde. Das war ja das kleine Buch, was sie letztes Jahr hatten. Da hatten sie auch gesagt gehabt, sie haben einfach nur ihr Umfeld beobachtet.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the short story book last year, lauter kleine Morde. Sorry, don't know the English title. Where you said, well, you just describe what you saw. You're just your surrounding society. Yeah, picking up what is there and putting it into a story.
You know, I made this story because I was asked to give a story away for, I can't remember, I think it was Amnesty International. Anyway, I liked the movies from the 50s, like The Lady Killers and so forth, having a guy and slipping it and down to the train rails. The British way of mixing humor and crime stories infuriated me, I must say. So I love to make a story like that myself. And it was so funny. Now it's going to be a movie here in Germany. Yes, there's a production company who bought the rights. And it will come next autumn, next Herbst. So I don't know. I haven't read the manuscript. I don't know anything about it. But they bought the rights, so it will come. Little story, a longer movie.
Was für ein Gefühl erzeugt das, wenn da einmal so eine Anfrage auf dem Tisch ist?
How does it feel when suddenly there is such a request for getting the rights to make a film out of one of your books?
I'm not really disturbed by that or inflated by that. Many asked me, and normally I say no. And why? Because I think adaptions of novels like mine are not very good. It will cost a lot of money to do it right, and the films will be long. But of course, Sondertids and Art Coup is very obvious to make into a crime series, And I did pass the rights to make a crime series in England, America. But it's now 8 years since I had my first contract on that. And it's still not being made. You know, film production is the slowest you can ever imagine, unless they make it themselves like Netflix. But most adaptations of novels I don't like.
Es ist ja sowieso für mich persönlich, die meisten Verfilmungen von Büchern enttäuschen mich, weil es eine ganz andere Story oder eine ganz andere Person teilweise ergeben, die ich nicht in meinem Kopf, also in meinem Kopf sehen Menschen ganz anders da aus und es läuft ganz anders da ab.
Ja. Ich habe verstanden, ich konnte es hören. Das war das erste Mal. You know, what disturbs me is when the manuscript is bad. And the manuscript, I always tell the ones who are making the manuscripts, you have to realize that this scene and this scene and this scene is important. And the way you develop the character is important for the next book. So please take very much care of that, but they never do. Adaptions of books are normally not good. I can mention a few where it's even better than a book. The English Patient, better than a book, in my opinion. Bridges of Madison County, better movie than a book. And sometimes I even feel that The Cider House Rules by John Irving is a better movie. But Marcus, he made the manuscript himself. That's why. He took what he wanted to start up with in the synopsis of Cider House's Rules and made it into a movie. But it took him 2 years to write it. And I can so clearly feel that the adjustments from the book to the movie has brought his heart into it. But can I write the manuscripts myself? No, because I'm 69 now, and 2 years for every book means I'm still writing the books when I'm 110, and that won't do, you know? So I have to say no to the filming or just leave it be. And with the Danish movies for Sunset That's an Art Coup, which I really don't like, I'm not attending at all. I'm not on a red carpet. I'm not at the film premieres. I just stay, you know, from that and also from the interviews about the movie. It's another life.
Kann ich alles voll und ganz nachvollziehen. Und mir bleibt nur noch wieder eins übrig, Danke zu sagen für das schöne Gespräch.
Thank you too, Marcus, for having me again and again and again and again. And you for coming and helping him out. Joyful.